Welcome to The Softer Side of Finance, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg explains how the finance function can create more value through the human dimensions of people, organisation and culture, with a global audience on LinkedIn Audio. Recorded as a live session, anyone can join in. Raise your hand and the stage is yours. Fancy joining Anders? Head over to LinkedIn and sign up for the next event. For now, here's what you've missed so far.
Welcome to another episode of The Softer Side of Finance. We are talking about the Planning and Forecasting Manifesto today, basically rounding up the 10 commandments of planning and forecasting. I'll be reviewing the blog post from October last year called How to Use the Planning and Forecasting Manifesto. In a time where the only constant is change, we need to change our planning and forecasting. FP&A professionals are always striving to improve and to share best practices. And these 10 commandments that we have talked about in the past 10 weeks. So what we did was we asked the question, if you were to reinvent planning and forecasting, what would be some of the principles, we call it commandments, that you would follow? And lots of great suggestions came in. We basically crowdsourced from there and synthesized the list of the 10 commandments. These concepts and guidelines are not prescriptive, but a goal in themselves. In the same way that our work draws together a route map toward the business goal, these can be seen as milestones towards a new paradigm of planning and forecasting excellence. Review the 10 commandments and consider where you are in relation to each of them. What is the first thing that you will improve in your own processes? Commandment number one, planning should always be aligned with strategy. A successful plan balances all the moving parts of the business to support the strategic vision. Don't take your eyes off the goal on the far horizon, or the business will lose its direction. Now, every year, when the budget process comes around, it seems like a number-crunching exercise rather than taking stock on where are we in terms of delivering on the strategy that we have promised to the market, to the board, to the owners, where we are promising stuff to, and is the next year plan going to be in line with that? A great trick you can do is take the actuals from the last 3 to 4 years, then plot in your budget for the next year, perhaps your long-range forecasting as well, and ask yourself, is this looking like a fake hockey stick or perhaps a real one? Because what often happens is we plan for a hockey stick, but the budget sticks out as a hair on a flat back. So the actuals are more or less flat. Whereas every year we do a budget, we're saying now is the time the hockey stick comes true. There are real hockey sticks out there, but most companies fail to realize these. Commandment number two, documenting your assumptions is the most important part of planning. What would have to be true for the plan to be a good plan? How will these initial assumptions change over time? And can they be tested and refined? So do as much testing as you can up front. This is your strategy. This is your plan. This is important. Why wouldn't you test assumptions? But also build a monitoring system to monitor these assumptions. So in case reality is too much out of line with what you expected, you need to act. There's a risk, or perhaps even an opportunity, that your plan is no longer the right plan, that you need to make adjustments to mitigate risks or to leverage new opportunities. If you don't track your assumptions, you won't know until it's too late. Commandment number three, without an effective feedback loop, your plan will fail. The goal of the business is not to execute the plan as given. The goal is to reach key milestones in the best possible way. An effective feedback allows a timely response to barriers and opportunities. Consider this. Top management, they go into the dark room. White smoke comes up the chimney. They come out and say, here's the new plan. Here's the strategy. They cascade it down into the organization. Then expect people to execute. Yes, they get monthly performance follow-ups, quarterly business reviews, and whatnot. But they never get true feedback on if the plan is working. They can, of course, gauge into the numbers, but they don't get insight into what exactly is working well or where do we need to make changes. We need to put that feedback loop in place. Commandment number three, and I'm going to be a bit dramatic here, but blow up your budget process. Blend in target setting, forecasting, and resource allocation in the same process is a recipe for disaster. Define the goal, targets, work out the roadmap, forecasting, and identify what you need to make the journey, your resources. But these are three distinctly different processes. Your target needs to be stretched, ambitious, and of course, in line with reaching your strategy. Your forecast needs to be unbiased, because otherwise, what good is it? And ideally today, produced by predictive analytics, machine learning, call it what you want. The resource allocation needs to ensure that good projects can be funded all year round and bad projects can be terminated whenever needed. It's not a once a year thing. Commandment number five, and I've received a lot of feedback on this one. Curious to hear what you think. Accuracy should never be the goal. A budget is not an attempt to predict the future, but a highly detailed navigation and operations manual for a journey into the unknown. Now, some say the budget needs to be accurate because we need to have an accurate plan to follow. To me, accuracy is not important. Some say it should be accurate, but it doesn't have to be precise. But to me, we're just mincing words and making it very philosophical, hindering taking effective action. So don't have accuracy as a KPI on your scorecard. That's what I'm trying to say. Commandment number six. Planning department is not the whole company, but the whole company better be planning. Now, this was, of course, was said about sales, right? The sales is not the whole company, but the whole company better be selling. We can use that on planning as well. This is a collaborative and cross-functional process. And the more involved every unit can be, the more they will own the plan. Maybe you've heard about XP&A or IBP, Integrated Business Planning. There's all sorts of newer planning methodologies, if you compare to the budget, or ways of doing planning, forecasting, analysis. But none of them have really taken hold. But key to successful planning is that the whole company gets involved. And we in finance, in FP&A, we need to ensure that can happen. Commandment number seven. A simple plan is the best way to achieve your target. Complexity increases the risk of error. It distorts key targets and prevents effective responses to change, reduces trust in the plan itself. Now, if you want people to do something differently, make it simple and easy to do the right thing. If you make it difficult and complex, you might get lucky. But most people, they'll ignore your direction setting, and continue to do what they've always done. So simplicity is your friend. Commandment number eight, reforecasting your financials should never take more than a week. Identify the critical drivers behind the headline figures and be ready to flex and divert to a new route towards the corporate goal. Anyone in finance should be able to build a simple driver-based model and you can update in less than a week to give you a new view of the future. With machine learning and everything else, you can probably do it faster. Perhaps you've heard about the Microsoft case. The whole global revenue forecast was produced in 2 days by two people maintaining a model. It's possible, people. Let's get it done. Commandment number nine, never plan without preparing multiple scenarios. Plan will never come true. Multiple scenarios provide realistic and actionable alternatives to stay on track. Now, of course, we need to keep ourselves accountable to reaching the plan, but we also need to plan for what happens when reality turns out differently. And of course, no matter how many scenarios you make, you will never be able to make the exact scenario that turns into reality. So that's not what I'm asking. I'm simply asking you to have a few scenarios, not just your low, high, but okay, if some major event would happen, what would we do? If certain drivers change significantly, what would we do? So that you can activate these plans should they materialize or should something similar materialize. And simply discussing alternatives definitely sparks creativity in terms of what actions can we take if our plan doesn't realize itself the way we expected it to. Commandment number 10, great planners always plan with contingencies. You're ready for the worst, but do you have resource liquidity to grab new opportunities as they arise? McKinsey advocates that you need to have 20% of your total resources as liquid resources. That is available cash, available assets that you can liquidate short term, a list of projects that you may want to cut in case better opportunities come along or risks materializes. If you cannot free up resources when needed, you're going to fall behind. You're going to lose out opportunities. Even worse, you might not be able to mitigate significant risks. So these are the 10 commandments of the Planning and Forecasting Manifesto. At this time, I'd like to invite people to the stage. If you have input, perspective, thoughts on these commandments, let's hear them. If you have questions, come up as well. I can see Troy is already sprinting to the stage. Hey, Troy, welcome back to the stage. Always good to have you here. Love your perspectives and your questions. Why don't you share a little bit about yourself for the audience if they haven't met you before, and then let's hear it.
Hey, Anders. Good morning to your listeners. My name is Troy Prasad. I'm from Toronto, Canada. Actually, I have a question about the point you made about accuracy. I think typically we use accuracy to gauge how well we're doing in whatever forecasting we're producing. So if you're saying that forecasting is not important, what other ways can we use to evaluate how well we're doing?
So forecasting is absolutely important. Accuracy is important as well. My key point is to say we shouldn't use accuracy as a KPI. So let's say I've seen many KPIs that says we need to have forecast accuracy of 95%. But what's the point? If we know we're going to be off, trying to hold people accountable for hitting a specific number. Now, of course, we need to understand why we are off. So if we are 92 or 111 to the forecast, we need to understand which assumptions turned out differently. Where did we perform differently than what we expected? So we can learn from it. And so we should absolutely learn from it. We shouldn't measure people on their ability to accurately forecast the numbers. So that's the key point here.
Okay, so if I'm hearing this correctly, it's really not to really evaluate the person behind doing the forecasting, but it's really more or less a learning mechanism, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, of course we should learn. And of course, it's better to be accurate than not accurate, assuming that everyone is acting in a fairly rational way. But because the world is so volatile, it's unreasonable to expect that the forecast will be accurate. Now, of course, if we're doing weekly forecasts for the next week, I would probably expect us to be more accurate than if we're doing a forecast for the next year. But still, I'm not sure forecast accuracy is a great measure, really.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
You are welcome. We also bring Michelle to the stage. Michelle, welcome. Please introduce yourself and then ask questions or share your perspectives.
I'm Michelle Atabi from Saudi Arabia. I'm a Saudi Arabian company as a finance and development manager. My question here, understand, you can see a regular, you can say follow the forecast. Every month we'll see where we are. I should have actual and monthly, my budget, how much I planned actual, and I will make forecast for next month. By this way, I will be accurate. I don't understand what meaning is. I am not putting forecast as a KPIs, but if I will follow monthly or regular time, then my forecast will become, you can say, accurate. Is it clear my question, Andrew?
Somehow, I would say. So I think the point is you need to have a forecasting cycle that makes sense for your business. So yes. Most companies today, they will have like a rolling forecast, and they will forecast, some will do it on quarterly, some will do it on a monthly, and there might be more operational forecast that takes place every week. Just to give an example, so I used to work in shipping, and in shipping, we would forecast the volumes every week. And for some reason, we would still be wrong, at least it wouldn't be accurate. So of course, you should have a forecast that gives you an unbiased view of where you expect to be in a week or a month or a year, depending on the cycle that you have. And if that forecast shows you that you are significantly off compared to where you expect to be in your budget or strategy, both positive and negative, you need to take action to close those gaps. And that is the key point about a forecast, that it shows the gap to where we expect to be, so that we can take action to close the gap or to expand the gap if it's a positive gap. That's the key points about forecasts.
What mean KPIs? If I would, I mean, you say I should not put as a forecast or accurate of forecast as a KPIs.
So if I should try to choose a meaningful KPI for forecasting, it would be how effectively are we at taking actions to close the gap, right? So if we now forecast I'm going to be 92% in the next quarter, that's of course not good, maybe not, maybe even unacceptable. So as a company, we need to take actions to come closer to 100% or even overperform. So let's say at the end of the quarter, I'm not 92, but I'm 99%. Okay, so we took actions to close 7 percentage points off the gap. I think that's a much better KPI than the forecasting accuracy.
Okay. Thank you.
You are welcome. So the question is, where to now? We have spent quite some time discussing all these commandments, and now, of course, you might be wondering how am I gonna use all of this? What am I gonna do with it? And what's the first thing that you want to change to bring one of these 10 commandments to life? I think it's a good thing to reflect on yourself. There's not a grand master plan, transformation plan behind all of this. The 10 commandments are designed to be simple, practical, and actionable to implement. Now, of course, your plan should be aligned with your strategy. It might be a bit more complex than not having accuracy as a forecast goal, but all of them should be commandments where you say to yourself, okay, tomorrow I'm going to make a list of those 5 projects that we could potentially cut in case we needed to find resources to mitigate risks or to take advantage of opportunities. If you don't have that list today, you're less agile, you're less likely to be a winner when the world changes. And we're not saying if, I'm saying when, because it's going to happen. Good communication, trust, mutual respect, and a seat earned at the decision-making table make the planning and forecasting process a collaborative, cross-functional, and comprehensive process. In short, it all comes down to effective business partnering. Lo and behold, of course, I'm biased. I would say that because business partnering is what we do. But at the end of the day, effective business partners come up with better plans together with the business leaders that they support. By building relationships of trust and the foundation for responsiveness in the face of change, we can help steer our businesses to new heights of strategic success. We will very shortly release the Planning and Forecasting Manifesto. You're going to be able to find it here on LinkedIn, free to download, with all the perspectives we have on planning and forecasting. All the 10 commandments will be in there. All the perspectives on how to make them come to life will be in there as well. And of course, if you want help on improving your planning and forecasting process, reach out. We work from the inside and out in companies to help activate your resources to make this happen. It's only a few weeks ago that I was in London presenting these 10 commandments at a breakfast briefing with Jeddaks and Seema. And there's quite a lot of questions around the accuracy part. Some people challenged it and said, hey, accuracy is important for different kind of reasons. Others also asked, so what about this planning? Shouldn't we have a detailed operations plan to actually get things done? And what about scenarios? Why do we have to have multiple scenarios? My ops team, that just want one plan they can execute. And yes, to start executing, you need to have a plan. A plan that you start working on, execute. And ideally, that plan works for you. The plan works and you continue along those. And then suddenly something happens. The plan doesn't work anymore. Then you have your alternatives that you have discussed at the beginning. But of course, you're not asking an operations team to execute three different plans at once. That's certainly not the intention. And we need a new course for planning and forecasting. Beyond budgeting, zero-based budgeting, whatever budgeting you can find out there. Nothing is potentially wrong with it. They just haven't been effective in doing planning and forecasting, or they haven't been effective in replacing previous ways of working. So let these 10 commandments be a new way forward. We are still open for questions on stage. I can see we have Muhammad coming up here, so we'll bring him up. You also have Fakab on stage. Feel free to unmute yourself and share your perspectives.
Hello, Anders. Nice to be here. I'm Elizabeth. I'm a Scrum Master from UK. So please, I'd like to ask, how do you measure the success of your planning and forecasting efforts?
Great question, Elizabeth. And at the end of the day, it comes down to realizing the strategy, right? So you plan and forecast to actually have an operational plan that you can execute to reach the goals that you have set. That's what it comes down to, nothing else. And of course, if you have a five-year plan, you need to have intermediate milestones that you want to achieve, that if you achieve these milestones, you are on track to realize the strategy. That's what it's all about.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Hello, Muhammad. Welcome to the stage. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective, ask questions.
You're speaking about forecasting. I didn't get which part of the forecasting, because I have manpower forecasting required for the planning. All it's managing for the budget in the end. But forecasting as a step, as a start with accuracy for the past data or the future data. I didn't get which part we're speaking forecasting now, because we have a huge different type of forecasting. You speak about financial planning or regarding to HR, regarding to manpower, regarding to capital acquisition. In which part will you speak?
Great question, Muhammad. And indeed, there are different ways of doing planning depending on the functions that you work in, and there are definitely different purposes. So for the sake of the planning and forecasting manifesto, we are mainly talking about financial planning, although I'm pretty sure that a lot of the principles would also be relevant for sales and operations planning, HR planning, and whatever else planning is out there. But this is mainly for financial planning.
For financial planning, so financial planning, the first step, I should read the historical data, which I have it, how I can manage my future based on this one. I should listen to the department, which will give you the future data, which I'll have it. Like for the sales department, they will give me what you wanted. For the procurement, it's all related to each department. For first step, I'm looking for the historical data, collect the future data from the department. Forecasting, it's meaning exactly part of the budget. The steps for the budget, for forecasting or financial planning, it's the same step for budget. But here, it can be changing. Based on the monthly wise budget, I can use it when I use a sensitivity analysis, when I make it one time per year. Like, you need to make it monthly, or you need to make it each month based on the change.
Absolutely agree here, Mama. I said we need to have rolling forecasts that I also mentioned to Michelle that fits your business cycle. It is definitely part of budgeting. What I'm advocating is that we have to split these things out. And we talked about this in one of the previous episodes where we discussed the reasons for having to do that. For today's show, I greatly want to appreciate Michelle, Troy, Muhammad and Elizabeth coming to the stage, asking questions, sharing your perspectives. I hope you will join us next week. But until then, have a great rest of the day and reach me on LinkedIn in case you have questions or want to discuss something. Bye for now and take care.
You've been listening to The Softer Side of Finance, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on how the finance function can create more value. And why not join Anders every Monday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?